In our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 1. We're picking up in verse 39, and so far we've gotten to the part where Gabriel has appeared to Zacharias, and he's appeared to Mary, and he's there to tell of the coming of John the Baptist, who is the foreteller, or the forerunner, the herald of Jesus the Messiah. And he appeared to Mary to tell her that she was the vessel that God was going to use to bring the Messiah, the Savior, into the world. So we pick up with verse 39, and I'm going to read through 45. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And if there are any Catholics here, you remember that's part of what we used to pray as the Hail Mary, because I was raised a Catholic. That's the source of the Hail Mary in here in Luke 2, or Luke 1. And whence is this for me, or to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is he that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So, after the angel leaves her, Mary purposes in her heart now to go visit her cousin Elizabeth. And she's going there knowing that Elizabeth is going to give birth in 3 more months, okay? She's late term. And she's going to give birth to the one who's going to announce the coming Messiah. And Mary is going to give birth 3 months later to the Messiah himself. So they're both very blessed in that God's going to use them mightily. And so they get together to rejoice together, to share their excitement together of what God's doing in their lives, and to praise him together. So it says that she went quickly into the hill country. And you think about, why do we gather together? We're all different. We all come from different backgrounds. And we really, the only reason, or the main reason we have to get together here is we may have common hobbies, some of us, but it's to celebrate Christ. It's to worship Jesus. And that's why we're together. It's we get together to rejoice together in our salvation, to rejoice in the Word of God, that God has given us his Word, and we can now can carry it around bound, and or on our phones, or on our tablets, on our cell phones, our laptops. We can rejoice about the work that he does in our lives, as we that we can be encouragers of one another to stay close to him. Remember just Luke 15, or verse 15 last week, it says, For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, speaking of John the Baptist. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. So John is filled with the Holy Spirit as God had promised, as this angel speaking for God had promised. So as Mary enters the house, Elizabeth hears her greeting, and she's filled with the Holy Spirit. And Elizabeth said, Blessed is the child, blessed is Mary among women. Not above women, not above Jesus, but blessed among women. Because Mary had an important role in God's plan, but he really could have used anyone that he chose. He just chose Mary. So we need to give Mary the joy and the blessing that she deserves, but not to give her what Jesus may deserve. And what I've often said is the thing I think to look at is at the marriage feast in Cana, that's where Mary spoke her last words recorded in the Bible. And she said, Whatsoever Jesus says, do it. I like that. She didn't say whatsoever I say. It's whatsoever Jesus says, do it. So John, even in the womb, he leaps. You know, he shows joy at the presence of the Messiah as he's in the womb, even before his birth. I think it's a way for the Lord to say, you know, children are even learning while they're in the womb, even before birth. Yeah, we know that children in the womb can become familiar with their mother's voice even as they're being carried. You know, they can become familiar with some of the surrounding noises that penetrate the womb as they're growing. But 30 years later, after this incident, John would point out Jesus and say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's in the first chapter of John. So, exercising his calling to introduce the Messiah to the Jewish nation, John, he could have been a little puffed up because God was using him mightily, but he's not deceived about who he is. He's not deceived about his calling. And as Jesus began to minister, John the Baptist said, "He must increase and I must decrease." In other words, I've come, I've done my job, it's time for me to move off the scene. That's in John chapter 3. Now, in verse 45, Elizabeth makes a doctrinal statement, maybe even unknown to her, but inspired by the Holy Spirit. As Elizabeth spoke of Mary's faith, saying, "Blessed is she that believed." In other words, faith in God is our blessing because we believe. Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. It's to your right through Acts, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 10. If these aren't highlighted in your Bible, you might want to consider doing that. Or just put them up here. "For by grace he is saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast." Okay, if you haven't gotten there yet, go back to Luke 2. Sorry. And you think about it, it's grace, not that anything we can do, we can't earn our way into heaven. That's the whole thing, point of it. We're all saved by grace through faith. God sent Gabriel to speak the word of God to Mary, so that she believed by faith the word of God coming from this angel's mouth. We all must believe the word of God by grace through faith. It's God's grace that gives us the faith. Actually, that's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, faith, the ability to believe. It's a gift from God. Many people abuse it. Many people refuse it, believing, "Oh, there must be a lot of different ways to come to God. I don't really need that." Many people believe in another way, you know, many other ways. When Jesus would make it clear a little later that there is no other way, he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." That's pretty specific. It doesn't say, well, you know, choose your own way, whatever feels good for you, you know, whatever your truth is. That's a lie from the pit. So, verse 46 here, we have Mary's answer now. This is called Mary's song. And Mary said, this is verse 46 of chapter 1, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Some call it the Magnificat. In other words, I magnify. "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name." You know, when you look at Mary here, you look at her heart, what is she looking for? She's looking to magnify God, not herself. She's not saying, "Oh, I'm magnified." No, she's blessed. Eight times she says, "He has, he hath." And our desire should be as hers is, to magnify the Lord, not ourselves. I'm not here to puff me up. I'm here to point to Jesus Christ. I want him to take all the glory, that he can use someone such as I to speak his word. In 1 Corinthians 10, it says that we're to do all to the glory of God. Wow. Verse 47 says, "My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Mary calls God her Savior. Jesus is her Savior. Her child is her Savior. Wow, why? Because it's God who saved Mary. Mary needed saving. Because God used her as a vessel to bring forth the Messiah doesn't mean she was sinless. She was a sinner like us all. She just needed to trust in the Lord for salvation because he opened her eyes to this truth and she spoke it. You've probably heard of Galileo. I've heard of Galileo Galilei. Listen to what he said. Probably one of the most brilliant minds in human history. He says, "I'm inclined to think that the authority of Holy Scripture is intended to convince men of those truths which are necessary for their salvation, which being far above man's understanding, cannot be made credible by any learning or any other means than revelation by the Holy Spirit." Galileo. He discovered a lot of things, but this is the most important thing he discovered. It's God's work, and Mary knew it. Galileo knew it. For Mary, he saved her, and he chose her to be the mother of the Messiah. God could have chosen anyone, but he chose her. Not because he's great, or not because she's great, I should say, but because he's great. He can take any vessel and use them to his glory. She believed God. She yielded to his will. God used her to bring forth the Savior to the world. And Mary knew her need. She needed to be ruled by God. And that's something we all need to learn personally. You probably have heard of Pennsylvania. It's just below us. William Penn. It's named after William Penn. He was the founder. He wrote this in the 1600s. He says, in order to rule well, you must first rule for God. And to do this, you must be ruled by him. Those who will not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyrants. One of the greatest tyrants that can rule us is, it's a four-letter word, it's self. I, me, mine. Maybe you're familiar with it. But I like what he said. We could be ruled by a tyrant or Satan and sin that can often rule us. When we don't let God rule us, we become slaves of life's biggest tyrant, our self-will in opposition to God, which gives us over to sin. And Mary continues here in verse 50. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. God isn't just for this generation, not just for that generation. He's not for any one period of time. He's for all time. He's for every generation. He's for every time in human history. The Jews thought he was only for them. They were convinced they were the only saved people in the world. Paul addressed this, actually, in the book of Romans. He said in Romans 3:29, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? And he says, yes, of the Gentiles also. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, and everyone is lost who hasn't come to faith in Christ. And the lost come in many shapes, many sizes, many different colors, many different ethnicities. But Mary, as she continues to pray, recognizes God's power to set up world leaders, to remove them, to work for even the little guy. I think of myself as one of the little guys. He shows love to those who are unimportant. He loves all. James 4:6 says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. His strength is shown against the proud, against the powerful. His grace is shown for the humble who give their lives to him, are willing to submit to him. Verse 54, he goes on and says, he has holpen. The King James, I'm reading out of the King James. The word holpen, I don't know, do you? I don't use that in my vocabulary much, do you? It means to, he helped or he supported. He has helped and supported his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. So Mary praises God for his promises, his faithfulness to keep those promises, especially this covenant with Abraham and his descendants, the Jews. She actually addresses that. And Mary rejoices that God blesses his people from generation to generation. And Christ is outside of time to be a blessing to all time. But he did come first to the Jewish nation that they might be redeemed, that all of them might be redeemed, all them might be saved who come to believe in his son. The irony is what did they do to their Messiah when he came? Peter spoke of it in Acts 5:30. He says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you killed and hanged on a tree. That was quite a rebuke. That's not the kind of message that you get people, you know, probably wouldn't hit CNN very well. But God hasn't abandoned Israel. In Romans 11, Paul said, "For I would not have you, brethren, be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, but blindness in part has happened to Israel, till the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." And you know what that means? It means till the last Gentile gets saved, then we're out of here. Jesus is coming again. The first time was as the Lamb of God to die for our sins. He will ultimately come back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to judge unbelievers. In the meantime, he'll return in the clouds to take believers out. And then after the great tribulation, he'll be returning to rule and reign for that millennial thousand-year reign. But God did make a covenant with Israel to save his people from their sins. And that she, Mary, shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, it says in Matthew, for he shall save his people from their sins. Even when Israel is rebellious, they're still his people. Think of it. They're his people. God used Israel to bring the Messiah into the world. But he's the Messiah for the Arabs, for the Jews, for the Gentiles, for the Buddhists. We met Mary. Mary's espoused to Joseph. Not married, but espoused to Joseph. And God gave Joseph the good news, too. Would you turn to your left to Matthew chapter 18. You know, one of the mistakes I made was to have the air conditioning turned on. It's in between winter and summer, sometimes the temperature outside gets warm enough where, is it hot in here? Or am I the only one? Yeah, we're heat generators ourselves, and Rosemary's not here today. She and Frank and Mark are out sick, or she'd be fanning herself to let me know. Turn the heat down. So verse 18, where are we? We're in Matthew 1, right? Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Jesus, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord, that'd be Gabriel, appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth his son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And that's a quote from Isaiah 7:14. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So we have both Mary and Joseph. The Lord went to both of them and instructed them on how to handle this birth. Okay, we're back to Luke chapter 1, verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said to her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all, and his mouth was opened immediately. Zacharias, he wasn't able to speak, remember? His mouth is opened immediately, and his tongue is loosed, and he spoke and praised God. So the Lord gives to Mary and Zacharias a boy, just as he promised. They named him John, just as he told them to do. And the Jews do look upon children as gifts from God, a heritage from the Lord. Psalm 127:3 says, lo, children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So normally they would often name the children after someone in the family, and to name him John was a shock to everyone. He goes on in verse 65 and says, and fear came on all that dwelt round about, them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. So while it may have been tradition to name after someone in the family, they didn't do it this time. They didn't name him. They named him John. And everybody is surprised. And Elizabeth insisted on John, which means whom Jehovah gave. And Zacharias wrote his name is John, and that kind of settled it. And finally, you know, Zacharias, being obedient to what God told him, as soon as he made it clear that he was obeying, he was able to speak immediately, and God opened his mouth, and everybody says, wow, what kind of a child is this going to be? Let's watch this kid, okay? Verse 67, he goes on and says, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, then we should be saved from our enemies and from the land of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. So when we consider all of this, John is filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit when the babe leaped in her womb, and when Mary came in. Zacharias got filled with the Holy Spirit when he became obedient to the Lord. So we have the whole family now spirit-filled. The word redeem means to be set free by paying a price. We know about redeeming coupons, but it means to purchase something back that has been lost by paying for it or paying a ransom. And it can refer at this time to releasing a prisoner or freeing a slave. Jesus came to bring salvation to his people who were in bondage to sin and death. Remember, sin and death entered the world when it wasn't in the world in the Garden of Eden. It came in at the sin, at the fall in the garden. We know that we can't save ourselves. Only Christ could pay the price necessary for our redemption because he was fully God and fully man. As Ephesians 1:7, in Paul speaks of Jesus when he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So this portion of Luke is called the Song of Zacharias. We had the Song of Mary, Mary's Song. And it tells the importance here of Christ coming to earth, what it really means. And it's he speaks as if we were an army that were captured, but help arrives just in time and the enemy is defeated. As certainly one day Satan will be fully defeated, giving total victory to God's people. But God does it through Jesus. And Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When we trust in Jesus as our Savior, we're delivered from Satan's power. God holds us in his hand, and nothing can deliver us out of his hand. He delivers us in, we can't take it. Nothing can take us out. We're redeemed, we're forgiven, we're saved, we're sealed forever for glory. In Colossians 1, verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, we give thanks to the Father who has made us meet, meaning fit, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We spoke of redemption earlier. So where did this Redeemer come from? Zacharias tells us it's from the house of David. God had promised the Savior would be a Jew in Genesis 12. He'd be from the tribe of Judah in Genesis 49. He'd be from the family of David in 2 Samuel 7. He'd be born in the city of Bethlehem in Micah 5. All these were prophesied in the Old Testament. And both Mary and Joseph belonged in, they were descendants of David through two different sons. The Redeemer, Messiah, is part of God's covenant with God's people, Israel, promised by the prophets. And because of God's covenant, his victory through his son, he redeems all who believe. Not who perform necessarily or do all the right things, but who believe. And that really sets us apart for his service. And he doesn't free us to ignore that salvation to do our own will. That would be serving another master. That would be serving the master of self. We'd be in bondage to self. We're called to do his will. That's where true freedom really lies, is in obedience to God and his will. And then he goes on in verse 76 and says, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins." So he's speaking now of canceling that debt of sin through remission, meaning to send away, to dismiss the debt. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions or our sins from us." Because we're all in debt to God, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all failed to live up to his standard of perfection. We're unable to redeem ourselves. We're unable to pay our own debt. That's the whole point of the gospel. The good news is that Jesus came and he paid for sins he didn't commit. He paid the debt for us. And because of that, God looks at us as in Christ. So salvation comes through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. John is God's prophet. He's pointing to the Messiah. He's the one that's preparing the way. Let's see here. Getting to the end of the chapter here. Verse 78. "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high," here's another name of Christ, the name of God, "the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." I have to confess, I sat in darkness. I was in darkness. I really needed some light in my life. And Christ came in and shined that. And Zacharias, he's one that hadn't spoken in, 9 months now? Or at least 6. And his first words are a song of praise to the Lord. That his son was chosen by God to prepare the way of the Messiah, just as it was spoken of in Malachi 3. It says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare a way before me." We can rejoice as Zacharias did, because the day spring on high has visited here. He's visited us. Maybe he's visited you somewhere. He brings that light and hope and forgiveness of sin. John, the prophet of the highest, introducing to Israel the son of the highest, conceived by Mary by the power of the highest. And it's really at that time, it was the dawn of a new day to people who were sitting in darkness and death and had no way of escape. Jesus brought light and hope to a really dark world. And he brings light and hope to a really dark world today. John would live a disciplined life, living in the wilderness of Judea. Do you remember his diet? Locusts and honey? Num, num. We won't be serving that today at the Potfaith, by the way. You can have to bring it yourself. But John, you think about this, John waiting 30 years for that day that God would send him out to prepare Israel for the Messiah who was to come. And Jesus actually was his cousin, or Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. So God calls us to believe this good news. And we have a tendency to say, like the Philippian jailer, "What must I do to be saved?" And God says, "Believe." He calls us to praise him, to experience this joy and have that desire to tell others about him because of what he's done in our own lives, so that we can say also, as Mary did, "My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." And he gives us that light that we need to guide our way in peace with God throughout our life into the next life forever with him. And then finally, Dr. Luke, he concludes the chapter and says, as the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. So Luke is describing, not in a lot of detail, but some about John's first 30 years of life. In a few words, he grew up in the desert, strong of spirit, in solitude, didn't have a lot of friends. He was a loner. He was a recluse. But he was preparing to be the forerunner of the Messiah. And he's preparing in the desert, speaking to God, preparing for that time when he'd point to the Son of God, the Savior of the world. So we see God's sanctifying process literally setting John apart for his use. And there's an important principle here, too, is that we are sanctified. Believers in Christ are sanctified and set apart to be representatives of him to a lost and dying world, to a God-rejecting world. To effectively do that part, we must stand apart from the world, a point, anyway, that hates him. God chose Israel to represent him, and he wanted them to stand apart to reveal him to the world. Remember, they were to be the light of the world through his Son. And in 1 Peter 1, I'll read a couple of verses, speaks of the same. Peter said, as obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. As a Christian, we need to be different than the rest of the world. We're not of the world, but we're living in it. We're not of the world, but we are passing through. So it'll be an example in the world, but not all of the world, no longer thinking the way we used to think. Not anymore doing what we used to do, not saying what we used to say, not going where we used to go. Separated, in a sense, from some of the things in the world as examples of people with a heart after God, who desire to live for him. And there has to be a realization that we can't do it without him. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, but without him I can do nothing. So we are here to represent a holy God to an unholy world. And history even says that Jesus walked the earth. Many people believe that he was a human man, that he walked the earth. But many miss the main point, which is he also was born of the Holy Spirit, and he's fully man but fully God, and that he died for you, and he died for me, and he's forgiven our sins. And we need to let this message be seen in the lives that we live for him, that we be an example, that we make a difference, that for his sake, for his glory. And this is a good place to stop. Let's stand and pray. Oops. Thank you. So, Lord, it's so much part of our will to do our will. And yet, Lord, you call us who have come to faith in you to put our will under your will. Just as we expect our children to obey us, Lord, you expect us as children of God to obey you. But we have rebellious natures, Lord, because we're fallen creatures. So we pray for your goodness, your grace, that we yield to you, Lord, in those areas, even where it's difficult, Lord, that we might be examples to the world, that we not drive people from Jesus, but draw them to Jesus. So, Lord, your will be done in our lives as we live them out on this earth in anticipation of that time when we'll be forever with you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll be setting up.